Bom dia, boa tarde! Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 153, and, well, a lot of things have happened since I dropped my last episode. We have a new national team manager. Roberto Martinez, João Félix, now lives in London for at least the next 6 months, getting sent on loan for $11 million to Chelsea. We had some surprises last week in the Liga B win. Benfica increased their lead to 6 points. We saw Porto drop a very tough match at Casa Pia. We saw Sporting losing to Marítimo. I said last week, Sporting always has a tough time in Madeira, and it happened again. And I also did say that Porto-Casa Pia wasn't going to be easy, and that's exactly what happened. We've got the second division report to talk about. Taça de Portugal, we have our final or quarterfinals set up for this. It's going to be actually February the 8th, but obviously, some matches will be played the day before, the day after. For now, it's just scheduled for Wednesday, February the 8th. But we got our lineup set up as well for the Taça de Portugal. And we got a big weekend coming up. Of course, the Derby, it's always special. A little bit of circumstances if you're a Sporting fan. But if you're a Benfica fan, obviously you're riding pretty high. And those will be some of the things that I'm going to talk about in this podcast. And before I get going, talking about like what I usually do in the first part with the Liga B win preview and review, the second division report, information on the big three. Let me start off first with a comment or comments about Roberto Martinez. And first off, not a very popular choice. I think more people didn't like it than did like it from what I've seen on social media. He was somebody that managed Belgium. But a lot of people felt the golden generation in Belgium didn't necessarily do everything they were supposed to do. And he obviously was the manager. And I know he managed in the EPL, but not a very exciting choice for some people. But look, people didn't want Fernando Santos. Okay. You don't have Fernando Santos anymore. And they went looking. Zinedine Zidane apparently was also offered the job, but he rejected it. José Mourinho on Thursday night basically talked about the fact that he was offered the job, and he was told by President Gomes of the Federation that he was the only one that was offered the job, and that Gomes wanted to do everything he can to bring him back home to Portugal, but Mourinho respectfully declined because he wants to stay and continue managing in Roma, which, like I said last week, I'm not surprised because he wants to manage club football every week. I don't think he's ready yet for national team football. In terms of, you know, playing, well, in this case, you know, the national team doesn't resume again until March. So I didn't think he was ready. So that kind of prediction came on. But look, Roberto Martinez is the manager, whether you like it or not. We don't know how he's going to do because he hasn't started yet. But I will say at least his first few days, I find to be very interesting. He went to Saudi Arabia to meet with Cristiano Ronaldo and have a conversation with him. And he's obviously going around, I believe he's in Portugal this weekend, meeting with some of the Liga players. And obviously he's going to do his rounds, meeting with all the national team players, saying hello, kind of setting his agenda and letting everybody know that when the national team gets back together for Euro 2024 qualifier matches, the beginning of it, they're going to be playing Luxembourg, and they're also going to be playing Liechtenstein. Not very difficult opponents, although Luxembourg isn't terribly easy compared to Liechtenstein, but you know, he's going to want to begin on the right foot with the players. And I'm glad he went to see Cristiano because they got to work that out. You know, Cristiano, to me, I think what's going to decide it is what he does these next 2 months in Saudi Arabia before these national team matches. If he goes to Saudi Arabia and he's Cristiano Ronaldo scoring a goal a match, then you know he's got it. You know that at least he's being consistent. But if he goes to Saudi Arabia and he scores 3-4 goals and is good and excites people but isn't necessarily scoring at the clip that people would expect of him, then I think, you know, we'd be curious to see if he gets called up. And then eventually it's going to happen. They're not going to call him up. And that's going to be in itself a hellstorm. And that's going to happen someday. There's no doubt. The question is will it happen this year, because Cristiano has expressed an interest in playing in the upcoming Euro and I think even the World Cup. And Fernando Gomes, the president of the Federation, has made it He has set the objectives very simple for the national team. He wants to be in the final four of the next Euro. He wants to be at the final four at the next World Cup, which will be in North America. And he has set those grounds. And so Roberto Martinez has a lot to do. But again, when you get hired for manager, you know, he obviously was very attracted by the Portuguese talent, the amount of talent that he has available to him in Portugal. It was a very, very attractive job. But now he's got to, of course, produce the results. So it's a very, very big hire. He is the third foreign manager for Portugal, and he's the first one that doesn't speak Portuguese based on some things that I saw in the press about it. But look, he's our manager. He deserves the support. We want to start off positively. You shouldn't be rooting against the situation. You should be looking for it to be successful. I talk a lot of times in this podcast about how sometimes players and managers go to places and you think it's going to be ugly, and then the most amazing thing happens, and it's very successful. Look at Jorge Jesus with Flamengo. The Brazilians were not happy. Look at what he did. Look at Jorge Costa at Academico Viseu these days. They haven't lost since September. They're still alive in the Taça de Portugal, Taça de Liga, in third place in the second division. Nobody thought Jorge Costa, after a pretty much not a very spectacular manager career, all of a sudden, look at Académico do Viseu. And then you've got players that go abroad and just seem to do very well. Look at, you know, Jota at Celtic. Nobody expected him to be doing that, especially when at his prior club, he only scored one goal. So sometimes you just don't know what you're getting until the match has happened, there's training, and after a few matches, you get a better idea. But we wish him, of course, the best of luck. But let's get going with Liga B win. Last week, very interesting week last week. Obviously, the two big results that stand out. We saw last week, well, first of all, Benfica beat Portimonense 1-0. We saw Braga go to the beautiful Azores in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, beat Santa Clara 4-0. That turned out to be the last match for Mario Silva, who has now since been replaced by Jorge Simon as the new manager of Santa Clara. Jorge Simon has been all over the place in Portugal, Braga, Santa Clara, not Santa Clara now. He's been at Chaves. He's been, I think, even at Passos de Ferreira. So he's a manager that knows Portuguese football. And people say, well, why do you recycle these managers? Well, it's not like there's a ton of money. I mean, there's money. They get paid well, but certainly not maybe money you would make in Spain or Germany or France. You know, forget about the bigger leagues. You know, maybe the little smaller teams in some of these countries. But Jorge Simon, who I think also spent some time in the Middle East managing, he is going to be the new manager, and he's going to try to turn it around for Santa Clara. But that loss, Braga's win 4-0, Santa Clara's lost in that match, is what kind of doomed Silva, and he was out as manager, and now Jorge Simon is in. And then, of course, the two big surprises. We saw Porto play to a 0-0 draw in the Jamor, and again, I'm not surprised. Casapia has the best defense in the league, or one of the best. I think they're behind Porto. With 11 goals against, and they've only scored 15 goals, but it's the 11 goals against that's keeping them in fifth place. And it's a tough match, and it's exactly what happened. Sergio Conceição said, in his opinion, they're the best team that's been playing in Europe that was relegated last season, and they played a very good Porto team that's still alive in the you know, the Champions League. So a very good result for Casapia. And then, of course, we saw Sporting, and I said it last week again, Sporting always has it very tough in Funchal, in Madeira. Outside of arriving at Cristiano Ronaldo Airport, it's just never very friendly outside of that airport for them. And they dropped a 1-0 result, which pretty much dooms them. You know, they are now 12 points behind Benfica. And even though you got the derby this weekend, which I'll talk about in a minute, it's just a very long hill to climb. If you're Sporting at this point, it's really about winning the Taça de Liga that will be coming up here in less than 2 weeks. That really, or actually in about 10 days when I'm dropping this episode, that's what it's really all about for the for them. It's really about the Taça de Liga, because that's really at this point, and maybe Europe, but you know how tough it is for Portuguese clubs in Europe. That's still alive for them, but it's hard. I think the Taça de Liga is going to be their best opportunity, and plenty of time to talk about that in a future episode as we get closer to the Final Four, which will be taking place in Leiria. But obviously, the big story of this weekend with the schedule. First off, it gets going on Friday. Portimonense playing Santa Clara at 20 hours, 15 minutes, 8:15. Santa Clara, again, the first the match, part of the first match to kick off the week. That's on Friday. Saturday, you've got Vizela Marítimo, Rio Ave, Passos de Ferreira, with a new manager, Cesar Peixoto, who played to a draw last week. You got Braga at home to Boa Vista, always a good match. Braga, of course, with that exciting 3-2 win in the Taça de Portugal. They'll be playing at home to Boa Vista, always a match between two clubs that are a little bit bigger than your average Portuguese club. And then Sunday, you've got Chaves taking on Arouca. And then, of course, the derby at 1800 hours, Benfica Sporting. And then right after, you've got Porto playing Fama, Famalicão. And that'll take place at 20:30. And then you got, last week you didn't have any matches on Monday. This week you have two. You have Estoril Casapia. No surprise, since Casapia just played in the Portuguese Cup, Taça de Portugal, on Thursday. And then, of course, you got Gil Vicente against Vitória Guimarães. A match, again, between two teams up north. And obviously, when you talk about the derby, that really is the big match of this weekend. Grimaldo is doubtful for Benfica. Rafa, according to latest reports, is out. He's got a bad ankle injury, a sprain. Sporting, they've got several players out. The youngster is Sugo. He is out because he was sent off last match. And then you got Neto, who's out. Braganza, who's out. And Morita, the Japanese international, who are out. But still, Sporting, they go into the Luge. They've had success in the Luge in the past with Ruben Amorim. If they have any hope, and look, no matter who you talk to, well, Marine, the players, no matter who you ask, nobody's giving up the fight at Sporting. But they are 12 points behind. And if there's any shot whatsoever of them getting back into it, it has to start with them getting the 3 points in the Luge. If you're Benfica, little disappointment 2 weeks ago against Braga. You come back last week and you beat Portimonense on a João Mário PK. But you need these 3 points. One, to bury your city rival 15 points behind. Number one, how good would that taste if you're a Benfica fan? And two, you obviously want to do it because you want to keep going. You've only lost once under Roger Schmidt, and you just want to keep this going and going. Porto plays against Famalicão, and that's obviously a very good match. Famalicão has been playing a little bit better lately. They're still alive in the Taça de Portugal. But Porto has just been all over the place, and they have been playing well. But to me, obviously, the big match is going to be Benfica Sporting. I believe Gold TV has this match on in North America, specifically the USA. Porto Fama, they're going to be playing, and they'll be the RTP international match this weekend, based on what I know as of today. You're going to see a lot of, people talking about this derby. You're going to see the managers giving each other a lot of respect, but also letting them know that they're coming to play. And this is a match that when you are in Portugal and you grow up as a footballer in Portugal, especially the younger players, this is one of the matches that you want to play in. Benfica Sporting, Porto Benfica, Sporting Porto. This is the match that you want to play in. This is what you grow up in. It's one of the things that you check off on your list. And if you're successful in it, that helps you make a case for a bigger opportunity abroad. So that is, of course, your Liga Bwin Week 16 preview. Second division report, it continues to be all Moreirense. They have a 5-point lead over Feirense from the Algarve. But again, what's very important for Moreirense is they have a 10-point lead over the third-place team, Académico do Viseu, and that's important because the top two teams automatically get promoted, and obviously Moreirense has spent a number of years in the first division, at least in the last 10 years. They were relegated last year, so they've got a 10-point cushion to work with. But Académico do Viseu in third place with 26 points, man, what a story, Jorge Costa. No one expected this. Again, a very nondescript managerial career. I remember when Jorge Costa managed the team in Algarve, Olhanense, who spent a few years in the first division, if you remember. Olhanense. And I remember when my hometown team, Arcos de Valdevez, played them in the cup, like, must have been maybe 13, 14 years ago, and they beat him in penalty kicks. And I remember that was the beginning of Jorge Costa's career. So he's had it, he's, like I said, not a lot to talk about. He was at Braga briefly. But whatever he's doing at Académico do Viseu is working. Braga hasn't, Académico do Viseu hasn't lost since September. They are 10 points behind. Really, the race for Viseu is really second place for Feirense from the Algarve. They're only 5 points behind them. That really has to be. But Académico do Viseu, what a story. Third place. They at one point were in 16th place. They're in the final four, of the League Cup in Leiria playing Porto, and they're going to be playing Porto again in the Taça de Portugal in early February. So some big matches. Jorge Costa, of course, good friends with Sergio Conceição. Obviously, they played together during the Golden Generation, and as a result, we've got to have, it's going to be, they've just been fantastic. Let me just put it this way. But the schedule gets going again. Moreira and Anse for the second week in a row. They are the first team to play, and they'll be at home to Mafra, and that's on Friday when this episode gets dropped. Saturday, you've got Penafiel, Turians, my favorite team in the second division. I got a lot of family in Torres Vedras, sitting in 14th place, but they're still hanging above the relegation line. You got Trofense taking on Covilha, Vilafranquense taking on Leixões. And then Saturday, no matches this week on Monday. I never know how they decide these things, but there's five matches. On Sunday, the most interesting is FC Porto B at home to Tondela, and Feirense, second place Feirense, at home to Benfica B, which is currently in seventh place. And again, whenever you're playing the B team of Porto or Benfica, that's always a big match for the local second division teams. They tend to get a little bit bigger of a crowd, and that's pretty much it. So, and if you're asking me what's the big match, obviously, you know, it's the derby for the first division. I think for me, probably the best-looking match that I think for this weekend, I think for me, it's obviously Feirense from the Santa Maria de Feira. They're going to be playing Académico Viseu, which I've just finished talking about. That is the best match. And that's at an 11 a.m. match on Sunday morning. And that will be the match that will kick off things on Sunday. On what should be a very good day of football leading up to the derby. So that's how that goes on. Taça de Portugal, everything is set. We saw Académico do Viseu beat Beira-Mar 2-0. We saw Porto beat up Anaroca 4-0. Tony with a hat-trick. Tony loves to play in the Taça de Portugal. He loves to play in the Taça de Liga. He likes to play in, like, the European competition. He tends to score these goals. He doesn't get a lot of run sometimes playing in the Liga, but in these other competitions, he's been very successful. First career hat-trick as Porto beat Arouca. Leixões and Fama, Famalicão beat Leixões 2-1. We saw a fourth division team, Lenk Vilaverdense. They lost to B-Side. B-Side still alive, even though they're struggling in the second division. They're still alive. We saw Casa Pia go to Setúbal. Vitória de Setúbal record a 1-0 win. We saw Nacional beat my favorite name, Rabo Peixe, 1-0. We saw Braga, what a match. Vitória Guimarães leading 2-0. It looked like they had it under control. Braga comes back with a brace by Abel Ruiz and a beautiful goal by Vitinha. And Braga walks away 3-2. And they will meet the winner. They will meet Benfica, who beat Varzim 2-0. And that sets up a very interesting quarterfinals. And again, the quarterfinals, Académico do Viseu, Porto, Fama, B-Sad, Casa Pia, Nacional, and obviously the highlight one is going to be Braga, Benfica, and that's going to be your big match that we're going to have, we're going to be seeing to play. And again, these matches are scheduled for February the 8th, a Wednesday, but obviously they're going to have a match played on that Tuesday before, and they're going to have a match played that Thursday, so it'll probably be 7, 8, 9. TV is going to spread this out to take advantage of giving the game each its own attention, which is, you know, really how they do it with television. But obviously a very, very great results this week, exciting match, particularly the one up in Minho with Braga, Guimarães, and now we have our eight teams, and only one leg for the quarterfinals. Then when you get to the semifinals, does it become two legs? And they started this, in case you're wondering, about 6 or 7 years ago. Before I get to part two of this episode, let me take this opportunity. Let me drop this audio clip of João Felix leaves Atletico, goes to Chelsea. First match, he actually did pretty well when he was on the pitch, and then he gets sent off. A lot of people said it was a justified sending off. And João Felix goes to Chelsea for $11 million. Before he left, he renewed for another year with Atletico. Obviously, Atletico spent, what, $127 million on him? So they want to get a lot of that money back. You can't blame them. Can't blame them at all. But check out this video of João Felix talking a little bit about how excited he is to come to play in London for Chelsea and some of his other thoughts. Check it out.
A little bit more slouched.
Yeah. I'm very, very happy to be here in Chelsea. is one of the great teams in the world, and I hope to help the team reach the objectives. So I'm very happy and very excited to play here and to play in Stamford Bridge. Yeah, I played against Chelsea 2 years ago, but there is no fans in the stadium because of the COVID. But I like the stadium. It's too close. Chelsea players that I remember, I can say Portuguese players, Deco, Ricardo Carvalho, Paulo Ferreira, Meirelles, but there is a lot of players, not Portuguese, that I like too, like Hazard, Frank Lampard, Drogba. So I don't know a lot of London, but I know it's a big city, it's a wonderful city. But now I'm focused on helping the team. I met one time Rhys James when I was in London, in a restaurant. Amazing guy. Oh, I'll bring my football, my happiness on the game, and give a lot of fun to the fans. No, since I was a kid, I was grow up thinking on being professional, and during that time was getting more serious. But at like 15 years old, 16 years old, I realized that okay, I can be professional every weekend, all games, not just Chelsea games, but even the last ones. I like to watch the games too because of the environment, the football. It's Premier League. I don't like to speak about me, but I will say that I'm a player that wants to have the ball and play with happiness, and I want to make all the fans enjoy my football and help the team.
That was João Félix talking a little bit about what he wants to bring to Chelsea, what he plans to do, and even though it hasn't gotten off to the greatest start being sent off, and I don't think he plays another Liga game or EPL game, excuse me, I think until February the 11th, because he's going to be suspended the next matches. But João Félix looked like he had a good beginning, and he had some people excited, and then all of a sudden he gets sent off. And again, 11 million Chelsea paid for him, a loan fee for 6 months. And believe me, they're not spending all that money. They want this kid on the pitch, and it's got to be a disappointment at Stamford Bridge that he was sent off the way he was, and it's got to be all that disappointing. Coming up, part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. It's incredibly challenging. It's a tough moment, I feel, for the supporters. We're disappointed to lose tonight. I thought relatively even game in the first half. We have a couple of good chances. I think the basics we can do a little bit better in terms of our defending, in terms of our some of our football actions. But at the same time, we get back in the game, and then the red cards, like you say, it's where we're at the moment in terms of things that can happen to us. Obviously losing Dennis beforehand as well. So we just adjusted with Georgie, and then João, who was obviously having a fantastic impact on the game. You can see his quality. To lose him and then to lose him for three matches is just, it's really disappointing.
Part two of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Just a reminder, you can hear this audio podcast all the time on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Anchor FM, Podcast Static. I also put up the audio, even though it's just audio, on YouTube. And thank you so much for those. And again, you're looking to support this podcast, very simple. Give it a follow. And thank you so much for your time. But let's get going with part two. Obviously, the first off, a few things. I'm going to kind of skip around. This will be sort of my fast and furious section. First off, great game. The game where João Félix was sent off by Chelsea. Fulham, Marcos Silva and João Palhinha, sixth place now in the Premier League. And Marcos Silva has Fulham playing fantastic. They were a great team last year in the championship, scored a lot of goals, and Marcos Silva has it. And again, when a lot of people saw that he was going to Fulham, Silva, nobody thought that he would be as successful as he was. Sometimes it just doesn't, you know, you don't get excited about it because you look at their past history. But look at what he's done so far, Silva, at Fulham. And I think you need to give him a lot of credit because I think things are going very, very well. Thoughts out to Nani. He's playing in Australia. He injured his ACL. Perhaps the most brutal injury you could have as a sports athlete, and he is out. It's going to take a long time to come back from an ACL injury, and obviously he's a little bit older. He's obviously a guy that's in incredible shape, so I don't necessarily think that, you know, he's up for the challenge. It's a lot of work, and how many people with his age are going to take a chance on him coming back from the ACL? But our thoughts are to Nani. You don't want to ever see that happen to anybody, not even your worst enemies. It is an awful injury, especially for an athlete, and I know a lot of people in Australia are very disappointed that they won't get a chance to see him play more. Australians that I know are hungry to see as many European players play in their country, in their league. There's a lot of the teams are very popular in Australia. People love to see it. Right now it's the summer in Australia. Great time to watch some football. You got the Australian Open about to start, tennis. It's a great time to be in Australia. But just a very tough injury for Nani, so our thoughts are with him. Fabio Vieira, in a match this week for Arsenal, had 2 assists, and he continues to just do very, very, very well. And again, Fabio Vieira, young talent. A lot of people thought maybe he left Porto too early, but when they triggered the clause, or you know, they paid for him right away, it got a done deal. So Fabio Vieira, we continue to wish him luck. And my favorite club, in case you wondered, of course, outside of Portugal, is, of course, Arsenal, and obviously I'm very excited what's been going on with Arsenal this year compared to what we were seeing 4 or 5 years ago. Other news, we saw Benfica, they signed 2 players from the Nordic region. They signed a player named Tangstad, signed them until 2028, 7 million with 6 million in bonuses, and then they also signed another kid named Schulderup. And by the way, I probably didn't pronounce that right, so you know, good luck if you know how to pronounce it as well. They bought him for 10 million plus 5 million. Benfica, again, this is what you do when you're a big Portuguese club. I know Porto might be in the market of getting a Fluminense striker named Luan Brito, who's 19 years old. And this is what you do in Portugal. You get them young. You make them better. You get people excited. Example, Enzo Fernandez. And then when the time comes, you sell them. And I tell people that even though this makes the league look more like a farmer's league, because people just really care about the talent as opposed to caring about the Liga the way people care about the Premier League or La Liga. But yeah, so that's they've signed them. 2 good signings, though. Give Benfica a lot of credit for trying to jump on top of these young talents. But obviously, if they're coming to Benfica now, you know, they arrived at the airport. Everybody was excited to see them. They get presented. Everybody's excited to see them. But now it's time to start taking care of business, and that is, of course, scoring goals and doing what you're supposed to do. Sporting has been in the news. Pedro Porro, the right back, reports say that the Spurs are interested in him. Also reported at Chelsea, but Sporting has made it clear, 45 million release clause. Is Porro worth 45 million? I don't think so. I mean, I don't even think he played at the World Cup. I don't think he's worth 45 million, but that's what Sporting says. But I wouldn't be surprised when amazing things happen 48 hours before the transfer deadline, when things all of a sudden, the price drops and the other teams offer a little bit more. It's amazing how you meet. It's like real estate brokers when they've got trying to sell a house, and the people that's selling and the people that's buying, they're going back and forth with offers. Eventually, they kind of meet halfway, and I think that's what's going to happen here with Porto. I think eventually he might be leaving, yes. He leads the Liga, by the way, with 5 assists. I saw a stat that said that that's even more assist than any player has on Chelsea or Spurs. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So we'll see what happens. Sporting, by the way, great note by Playmaker, have lost 17 points this season in Liga. That is as much as they lost the entire season last year. Ouch. So Sporting, again, just not doing very well. It's all about the League Cup, in my opinion. Braga, they are sending back to Real Betis in Spain, Diego Lenez, the young Mexican international. He's not getting a lot of minutes, and he, you know, wasn't doing very well either in Betis. So this is a young kid who is finding his dream of playing in Europe is getting harder and harder, and you've got to really feel for him. Porto did a renewal with João Marcelo, a young center back, 21 years old, and they renew him until 2027. Pep was in the news regarding interest from Saudi Arabia. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens next year or the following year. I really don't. But Pep is back. He saw some action the other day in the Cup. And obviously, Pep is also with the national team. So if you're a Porto fan, you're happy. But if you're also happy with the national team, you're happy that he's back because he's still going to be playing. And he's a great player to play for us in March for the national team. Let me wrap it up like I always do. A little bit of a short of a podcast. My favorite team in Portugal, of course, is Atlético do Arcos. Big win last week at home against UD Leneses, winning 4-1. But Atlético do Arcos still has a 5-point lead in first place. Limianos is in second. They beat the last place team, Fichense, 7-0 away. And then, of course, the third place team in this group, Vitorino de Piões, they have 34 points. And they drew 0-0. So now Arcos has a 6-point lead on the third place team. And again, in this district, the fifth tier, only the first place team gets promoted to the fourth division. The second place team does get the chance to play in the Taça de Portugal with the first place team, and then that's it for everybody else, nothing. So at least Arcos, for when it comes to the Taça de Portugal, have a 6-point lead, but they obviously have a 5-point lead over Limianos from beautiful Punta Lima, and I think that's pretty important. This week, my favorite team, they are going to play at home too. And it's a bit of a derby in Arcos de Valves. So yeah, you got your derby in Lisbon. This is a bigger one. The derby of Arcos de Valves, and that is, of course, Atlético Arcos playing Távora, who's having a very good year. They're in fifth place. They're just too far away to be in the top two. They're with only 27 points. But that's the big match in Atlético dos Arcos. Limianos, they're going to be playing at home to a team that stole my last name, Neves FC. Just kidding, of course. And Limianos, Neves FC, my namesake, is in the middle of the pack in 10th place. And then Vitorino, the Piões, they are on the road, and they're going to be playing the 6th place team. So a bit of a difficult match for them. Hopefully they draw points. They're playing a team called Cordiolense. And that's my team, Atlético do Arcos, my number one team. Folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 153. Thank you again for listening. Great week of great weekend of football coming up. Hope you enjoy the derby on Sunday. And let's make it about the derby this weekend. Let's not always be talking about the young players. Let's make it about Portuguese football, what happens between the pitches, and really enjoy the derby. If you're not a Sporting or Benfica fan and you don't care, watch it. It tends to be a good match. Somebody's going to complain about something. There's going to be a controversial play, and that kind of always makes it different, you know, exciting. And that's just the way it goes with our Liga football. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 153. I hope you all take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.